Amen. And because there's a word from God, we're going to turn to the word of God. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we will be reading verses 1 through 8, and I believe it's going to be on the screen. But I'm going to be reading from the New King James. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John is in the New Testament. If you see 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you went too far. You got to back that thing up. John is like the fourth book in the New Testament. Y'all got it? So somewhere between Genesis and Revelation to sum it up. There you go. And some people got it late. They was like, Genesis and Revelation. Those are the first and last books of the Bible. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. If we all have it, I don't know if you have a tradition here. Do people stand or anything? Oh, cool. I'm going to read it. Actually, I do have a tradition. We stand and read the word of God. I'm a little old school. Can y'all stand with me? Call it Christian calisthenics. You'll be able to sit down the rest of the time unless you just, like, the Holy Ghost get up in you and you want to shout or something like that. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading out a New King James Version. It says this: I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away and prunes. He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Everybody say abide. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, everybody say abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amen. If I use for a title, topic, subject, or focus this morning, it would simply be, do it for the vine. Look at somebody and say, do it for the vine. Look at somebody else and say, do it for the vine. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for being the vine. We thank you for calling us to be branches. And Lord, it is my prayer today that we will bear fruit in your name. God, we pray, Lord, that you will increase in us, that people will know you through us, Lord. God, I pray that our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts are open to hear and receive and see what it is that you have for us. God, I pray today that this will be a move in this church that will help Hampton, Virginia be a better city. Matter of fact, can you just join in and with expectation right there? God, we're expecting you to do something amazing today. We're expecting for you to do something in our lives today. God, we ask for change. We ask for growth. God, do what only you can do. And God, as I speak, Lord, I pray, Lord, that people don't just remember who Chris Johnson is, but I pray that they remember that Christ Jesus is their Savior. Lord, I bring to you simply water. May you touch it and make it wine that we may rejoice. We honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do it for the vine. And so when we come, as we come here today, as the Bridge Church launches into this new location and also about to celebrate the first year of existence, that's major. Come on, let's show God some love right there. I mean, that is amazing. And I just celebrate what God is doing here. I celebrate the faithfulness of those that have come and set up, those that are doing the parking lot ministry, those that carried these heavy subwoofers this morning, unless y'all had wheels. Did y'all have wheels? Something like that. Good. Bless God for all those that come up here and practice and everything. And what God is doing in this church, literally, Will McDowell, he said this thing one time. He says, God does not see a city with a church in it. He sees a church with a city around it. And so my prayer today is that this will become a destination place for Hampton, Virginia. People will come to the Bridge and say, what city is this in? You see what I'm saying? That the glory of God will literally rest on it in such a way that literally when people come through the 757, they say, I heard about this place called the Bridge. And I ain't talking about the bridge over water. I'm talking about the bridge that helped us understand a reconciled relationship with Christ. And that's my prayer, and I hope that's your prayer too. And if it's not, I just gave you something to pray for. Amen? Amen. So this is like Sunday school and church all at the same time. You know, anybody remember when you were a little kid and you had to say a Bible verse in front of the church and you didn't know what the Bible verse was, but they sat up there with you? Jesus wept. Boy, everybody knew that verse, did not know the context. Jesus wept. And that's the only thing we went through. Some of us are ministers to some people about that. Man, I just don't know what to do. Jesus wept. But anyway, and so my prayer is that what God would do here will literally require his miraculous power every day. That what he does here, that nobody will be able to take claim for. That it won't be because Pastor Edwin Jones is a good preacher, because the worship team sounds good, because you got a new building. But I want it to be that when people see what God is doing here at the Bridge, they say, wow, only God can do that. And so there's a couple things I kind of want to build this thing off of. Like, you know, I want to kind of look at the first commandment, the Great Commission, and then the Pentecost. I understand the first commandment in Genesis chapter 1. God, he creates Adam and Eve. Y'all heard the creation story. He created Adam, you know, breathed him. He made him out of dust. I guess it was good Plato. He made him out of dust, and then Adam was there. He breathed the breath of life in him, which means God imparted himself in Adam, which means we are created in the image of God. Wow, we are created in the image of God. Somebody say amen. I mean, that's amazing. Anytime you feel ugly, too short, too tall, too light, too dark, too fat, too skinny, you created in the image of God. It's the inside of you that looks like your daddy. And so right there, so God creates Adam. Then he looks at Adam and says, man, it's not good for man to be alone. And then so he brings Eve forth. And then when he says to them, he says, fill and subdue the earth, or be fruitful and multiply. And that's what I want us to hear. Be fruitful and multiply. That was the first commandment that he gave to humanity. Be fruitful and multiply. Everybody said, be fruitful. And so, yes, you got physical fruit, which he was talking about children, but you also got spiritual fruit, because understand, Adam and Eve put on the earth, they were meant to subdue the earth and establish God's rule, that those that come after them may know who their creator is. So when he's talking about be fruitful and multiply, he's saying that people should know your creator. And so that's the first commandment. He says, be fruitful and multiply. So then Jesus comes later on and he fulfills everything else, and he begins to show us the next aspect of what we're supposed to do as humanity. Jesus walks on the earth for 33 years, and then you go from this commandment in Genesis, but then you go to this great commission in Matthew 28 where he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe the things that I've taught you. And so we see that there's this continuum. You see the commandment is, be fruitful and multiply. But then Jesus says, if you got anything from me, here's my last words to you. Be fruitful and multiply. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Other words, show people how to follow me. Somebody say, be fruitful. Now, here's the thing. So he comes to the Great Commission. Jesus says this, and I like to paint the picture like this. Imagine a loved one, and here's their last words. And when they tell you to do this, their last words, you normally have another level of oomph and say, I'm going to do this. But the Great Commission is what was left for the church to do. And one writer said, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. In other words, we don't necessarily look at our Christianity as an opportunity to help other people come to know Jesus. And we say, well, I don't know that many Bible verses. I just found out there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's fine. Wherever you are, you have what it takes to give to somebody else. One of my spiritual mentors, the founder of our network, he said that he was doing a revival. They was doing this crazy mission work in the Philippines, and the people just start getting saved. Like, they didn't plan to be there that long, but he went on a mission trip and ended up staying there for 30 years. And now the church that they started on a mission field, it has over 70,000 people, and it started with less than 100 people. And the only thing they was trying to do was make disciples. So they're in this moment, and he's preaching, and this guy, they just kept on having church every day. And so one guy, he goes to this guy, he says, listen, man, I want you to disciple this guy right here, just gave his life to the Lord. And the guy responds, he says, but Pastor Merrill, I only been saved for 3 days. He says, well, you got a 3-day advantage on him. Give him your 3 days and God's going to give you more. And so many times we discredit ourselves from being able to give something to somebody. But let me tell you this, God uses messed up, jacked up, broken people. He uses that and he gives us grace. And the only reason why I'm standing here is not because I'm perfect, because he saw somebody that was jacked up, that was spending enough time with him. He says, you know what, I'm going to use you because you're loyal. At least you keep coming back to me. Understand, so the commissioner says, he says, go ye therefore and make what? Disciples. Go ye therefore and make what? That means disciplined learners. Those that learn what it takes to follow Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people that go to church that's not disciples. Did I say that too fast? There's a lot of people that go to church that are not disciples. And I remember this song, it was kind of quasi when I was like getting saved. It says, everybody in the club ain't tipsy. Anybody heard that? I hope that's not too much of your testimony. Everybody in the club ain't tipsy. Right? Ain't that where they go, Troy? You my secular guy, right? You tell me what the secular song says. But then this Christian dude, they came out with a remix. He says, everybody in the church ain't Christian. And I said, whoa. But it's kind of true. Because a lot of us look at Christianity as a Facebook status. A lot of us look at it like, oh, I got the cross around my neck. You know how many rappers I've seen with blinged out crosses saying stuff that just is obscene according to Christ, and they're not Christian. I mean, say I'm judging if you want, but based on the fruit that you bear, not a Christian. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 7, he says this. Jesus says, look, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. When you see apples hanging off a tree, what type of tree is it? Come on, y'all. Come, y'all are smart. When you see pears hanging off a tree, what kind of tree is it? Y'all are smart. So how do you know there's an apple tree or a pear tree? Because of its what? So based on your life, I should be able to see the things that come out of you and tell what type of tree you are. I should be able to tell what you're connected to. So when we look at this, how do we get to this place of bearing fruit? Jesus in John chapter 15, when we look at it contextually, I love John 13 through like 17, because Jesus just, he goes on this rant, but he revolutionizes stuff. So if you want some homework, read John 13 through 17. It'll get real good to you. Get real, real good. Y'all know what something good. Yeah, good. It get real good to you. And so Jesus, he sets up this whole scene because he has to give them a word. So John 13, he invites them in, and this is also called the Last Supper. He done washed their feet. They done got real comfortable. They got some bread. Man, that's a good dinner. You get spa and food all at once. Come on, Jesus. Do it like only you can. And so here it is. They're sitting there, and they've had the Last Supper, and he done told the guy that's going to betray him. He says, man, go do what you got to do, which was Judas. And then Jesus, when he gets to John 15, he begins to give a message. And he says this. He says, I am the true vine. He says, I am the true vine. That right there, oh boy, that's rich. Because the last time we see someone making an I am statement before Jesus was God when he was speaking to Moses. And when Moses says, you're going to send me to Pharaoh to let these Israelites free, who am I going to say sent me? He says, tell them I am. You're talking about swag. I mean, you're talking about thunder. Who am I going to tell Pharaoh? You know, Moses was stuttering. Who am I going to tell that sent me to set the people free? Tell them I am. Well, doggone it, that's what I'm gonna do. Who sent you? I am. I am who? That's what he told me. What you wanna fill in the blank with? Right? And so then Jesus in the book of John is very theological. So he makes statements like, I am the gate, which gives us access. I am the shepherd. My sheep know my voice, which means he covers us. I am the bread of life, which means we are filled. He says, I am living water, which means he quenches our thirst. But when we get to John 15, he says, I am the vine, which he's saying that now I'm giving you a theological continuum from the beginning of time to right now, that I'm about to fulfill part of that statement, I am. It wasn't left blank. Y'all just weren't ready to receive it. Come on, somebody. So he says, I am the true vine. Not a vine. I am the true vine. There are other vines that may bear fruit, but I am the true vine, and you are my branches. He says, my father is the vine dresser. Jesus being the best preacher that we know. The best preacher to ever walk the earth, when you agree, Pastor Edwin Jones. He paints a picture. Imagine him sitting there at dinner with his disciples. He begins to paint the picture of the kingdom. And he spoke in parables to paint pictures as well. Like Tupac said, picture perfect. I paint a perfect picture. Right? Just making sure y'all awake. ain't nothing but a Jesus party. Sorry. And so I told you he used messed up people. All right, so so I can't believe he quoted Tupac. That means grace. All right, so so he paints a picture. He says, I'm the true vine. Now understand, Jesus didn't give him like no warm-up to this conversation. Jesus is funny, man. Because I sit up there eating. Man, this is some good unleavened bread. This is good. I'm the true vine. What? Like, you know, most people say, hey, look, man, I got something I want to talk to you about. You know, you might not really understand it, but let me give it to you anyway, right? I like when people preface it. Jesus didn't preface it. He just came out of nowhere. I'm the true vine. What you mean you're the true vine? He says, y'all are branches. I'm a branch now? He says, but see, my father's the vine dresser, and basically, all of you are supposed to bear fruit. And we paint this picture. As we go through John 15, 1 through 8, we see three seasons of being connected to the vine. We see Jesus says, look, if you bear no fruit, I need to move you. If you're bearing some fruit, I need to prune you. But for you to bear much fruit, you need to abide in me. So three thoughts I want to give to you. Move, prune, abide. Move, prune, abide. Move, prune, and abide. Three seasons that we deal with the vine in this text. Some seasons about moving. Some seasons about pruning. Some seasons are abiding. Everybody say, move. And so Jesus says, in verse 2, he says this in 15:2, John 15:2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I want to make sure we get this. He says that every branch that bears no fruit, he takes away. Make sure that we understand what fruit is and what he means being connected to the vine. He's saying that the fruit that you should bear, people should know who Jesus is through you. We got that. In other words, bearing fruit is helping someone understand what a relationship with Jesus is, helping them start a relationship with Jesus, helping them grow in their relationship with Jesus. He's saying that we as Christians, because we're connected to him, this is what should happen. This means it should be a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a mama, a daddy, a child. Somebody should know about Jesus through you. Do we got that? Somebody should know about Jesus through who? No, y'all supposed to say through me. Somebody supposed to know something about Jesus through who? I want to make sure somebody supposed to know something about Jesus through who? And so he says this. He says, understand, you were created to bear fruit. Ephesians chapter 2. It says like this, that we are his workmanship. And he has created us to do his work, which means that he has fashioned us. He has made us to be a part of his good works, which means that we all were created to bear fruit. Some of us might bear more fruit than others, but all of us were created to bear fruit. If you can help one person get to the kingdom of God and eternal life, you have done a good job. Some of us might have the gift of gab, or either the anointing, or either the calling. We might help hundreds or thousands of people, but if you help one person, and that one person might help thousands of people, the thing is, somebody should know about Jesus through you. So if you're not bearing fruit, that means there's a problem. If I come to an apple tree and there's no fruit on the apple tree, there's an issue, especially if it's apple season. So if I come there, ain't no fruit, there's an issue. It's kind of like, you know how you feel it's an issue when you got paid and you look at your bank account and there's still nothing in there? You're like, hey, this is in the season. I'm supposed to have a dollar or two. And when there's no fruit there, there's something wrong. And so he says, here in the text, he says, that if you bear no fruit, he says, he takes it away. Upon first reading, are y'all following me? Upon first reading, when he says takes it away, you may think that he just gets rid of it. But when you understand the idea of taking away, it's not just remove it. When you look in the Greek, there's this word A-I-R-O, aero. It also means to lift up or either to move. So when he says every branch that bears no fruit, he says, I move it to give it a better opportunity to bear fruit. So in other words, when we look at this thing here, when he says that I take it away, either I move it or either I lift it up, the best way I can kind of summarize, there's this story about this daughter of the vine dresser The vine dresser, he used to have big crops of grapes. And his daughter used to go along with him to harvest the grapes. There was this big storm one night. The wind was blowing. It was lightning. The thunder felt like it was vibrating the house. And the vine dresser kept looking out the window. And he could not wait for the storm to end. And so once the storm begins to cease and calm down, he puts on his mud boots. And he invites her out, says, come on, we got to go help the branches. She says, Daddy, what do you mean? It's just a storm. He walks, and as he walks through the vineyard, he sees a branch that is laid down on the ground. It's still connected, but the storm has knocked it down and it's in the dirt. And because it's knocked down in the dirt, it does not have the best opportunity to bear fruit. The vine dresser kneels down, picks up that branch, brushes it off, adds some security that it might be attached to the vine and that it might be out the dirt. And when we talk about, he says it takes away, he's saying that sometimes to bear fruit, you've got to move out of the dirt in order to bear the fruit. And so when we look at the first step, talking about moving, what the vine dresser does, first of all, is give you an opportunity to be purified. See, that's what moving is. Some of us, we can't bear fruit because we still got some dirt in our lives and we still got some stuff going on that has us in the dirt. For some of us, it's some relationships that we're supposed to be here, but the relationship has dragged us down and we're in the dirt. And the vine dresser has to come and pick us up and move us. Somebody say, move. Some of us got some addictions, some habits, some stuff that people don't know about, and it has us down in the dirt, and so we need to be moved that we might bear some fruit. Oh, I don't know about you, but I get excited about this moving part because this means that some things are about to stop in my life. This means that this Sunday means that it's going to be the inauguration for the new me. This means that I'm going to have a new mindset because, understand, just like this branch that got knocked down, there may be storms that come in your life. Some of us, it might not be behaviors that we need to stop. Some of us, it's thinking that we need to stop. We're doubting God. We pray and then doubt, and we wonder why prayers are not answered. So, the storms of life. Anybody ever been caught up in some storms? To the point where you don't even know how to put it in words. And you start getting to the place, God, why are you doing this to me? Or why is this happening to me? Storms. These are the moments when you wake up in the morning and you haven't even gotten bad news, but you already feel like the cloud is over your head. Storms. These are the storms that you get to the point that you don't even want to answer the phone no more because it seems like every time you answer the phone, it's bad news rather than good news. Storms. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Storms come. Sometimes they wreck us. We'd be on a good trajectory to grow. We'd have set our New Year's resolution in January. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. But money got a little tight. Then they said, I got to work overtime. Now I ain't been to church in 3 months. So everything I was going to get is gone. Now somebody to offer me something that's from my past. They offer me a substance to put in my body that I didn't plan on being on. And now here it is. I'm drunk as a skunk. And I don't even want to go to church because I'm ashamed. Storms. Sometimes they knock us down. Situations come. But the grace of the vine dresser, when the storm subsides, he'll find you where you are and he'll lift you up. Somebody say, he's lifting me today. He'll move you. He'll brush the dirt off you. And so before he gets rid of you, he says, let me give you a better chance to grow. Move. And so understand, moving promotes growth. And sometimes your first move to get out of the dirt that you're in is simply to begin to confess and repent some of the things that you've done wrong. Revival is not fancy. It's not complicated. The fuel for revival is repentance. The beauty is this, that we all still do things wrong. But the beauty of repentance is that we have a place we can come back. That Jesus says, when you repent, I left a bridge for you. Shout out to the bridge. That can reconcile you, bring it back into relationship, even when you're messed up. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because I'll move you before I get rid of you. Everybody say move. Then the next part, he starts in verse 2. He says this. He says, for every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Everybody say more. More. So when he says that every branch that bears more fruit, he says he prunes it. Understand, pruning is the aspect of removing unneeded things from the branch. Not necessarily bad things, unneeded things. Now, this is the part where it gets a little tricky, and this is the part that helped me out. Pruning sometimes is painful because something has to be cut away. Now, if you look at it, certain things that are cut away, you have extra leaves that grow around that prevent the sunlight from getting to the fruit, which means it won't grow and ripen the way it's supposed to. You got it? And so I got to prune the leaf. It's not that it's bad. It's green, and it's evidence of life, but it's not fruit. Come on. I hope y'all awaken here. Because you might have evidence of life, but you're still not bearing fruit. Oh, yeah, you're reading your Bible now. Yep, you listen to more Christian music than secular music. Evidence of life, you still ain't bearing no fruit yet. Right? Oh, you go to church now. Good, because he wants to prune you that you might bear more fruit. And so the leaf is good. It's just in the way. See, here's the thing. Sometimes the hardest things to get rid of in life are the things that don't seem bad. Right? It's easy. You know, stop smoking weed. I got that. I know it's natural, but I ain't supposed to smoke it. We got that. All right, got that, okay? You know what? You need to stop slapping people on the weekends, you know? You're supposed to give people your other cheek. You got that. You ain't supposed to be slapping people. Y'all know that, right? Now, matter of fact, I forgot. I'm back in the 7-5. You are not supposed to slap people for fun, okay? A little bit more thugs here than it is in Harrisonburg. You know, some things you're not supposed to do, you know? At some point in time, you know, heroin is not recreational at all. You're not supposed to put that in your veins, right? We got that, right? You know, I'm going to keep on going through because I don't want to take nothing from it. We know prostitution, right? It's bad, right? So if, you know, y'all do the do, y'all not married, and then they drop some money on the counter, you know, the tape, you know, you're wrong. I'm just making sure. I just read the Old Testament, and, you know, it's a little graphic, right? We know certain things are wrong, but it's the good things that sometimes are in the way of us bearing fruit. Now, here's the thing. I had to do some research, right? I like doing a little research. I like Google. I don't do a whole lot, but I like Google. And so when you remove dirt, sometimes bugs get in there. But there's this other thing that grows on branches, like there's great branches, right, from the vine. And it's this other thing that grows up there, and they call it suckers, which is one of the things you got to prune. You ever had some suckers in your life that need to be moved? Now, see, some of y'all thought about some people. But seriously, now here's the thing about the sucker. Let me help you. So look, so you got the branch that to grow, and then you got the vine right here, right? And so right where the branch starts to grow, another shoot kind of comes out, right? And so they call that a sucker because that means the sap and the life that's coming from the vine is going to have to start going there instead of going to what's already been established. Which means there might be some people in your life, and they want to have Bible study every day, but they suckers. Come on. It might be some people who say, oh, we want to pray, but you find that you always just praying for them. They ain't never praying for you. At some point, they need to call you their mentor. Talking about we best friends. This ain't mutual. You a sucker. You know, you ever had somebody that talk about a friendship in public better than what it really is? It was true. We like that. We like that. I don't want nobody to think Pastor Edwin Jones was lying. We best friends. I mean, we kick it all the time. Y'all ain't seen each other in a year, you sucker. And so notice it kind of comes out and it begins to emulate life, but it's not the right place. Now here's the thing, in this pruning season, Jesus says something in verse 3. He says, but you're already clean by the word I've spoken to you. Which means to prune, there's some shears or there's some scissors, which means it's sharp and it cuts off. Jesus' word is what he uses to prune. Come in Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the difference between the flesh and the spirit. It helps us understand the will of God. And so sometimes the best way to identify suckers and get rid of suckers is by reading the word of God. Some of us got some habits that are suckers. Some of us got some hours on our job that are suckers. And it's pulling life out of us that is not supposed to go there. And you know it's a sucker when you got to justify it. See, be real. One of my suckers is iPad games. See, y'all thought it was going to be deep. Y'all thought it was going to be real deep. No, iPad games. Something about Bejeweled Blitz. Right? Some of y'all Candy Crushers, right? And other things. And Words with Friends. And I notice when I fast from food, turn away from the plate, that I would still spend a couple hours playing Bejeweled, playing Words with Friends, or either on the Facebook. One lady said, I don't want to be on the Facebook. You know, Instagram, you know, Periscope. All right? I don't know if y'all know about that. That Pastor Edwin put me on it. You know, YouTube. And I recognize some of the suckers in my life is social media. I was like, how, Pastor Chris Johnson, can you struggle to pray for an hour, struggle to study for an hour or two, but you can play the game and be on social media for 3.5 hours? How, Pastor Chris? Is it a sin? Not necessarily, but it's a sucker that needs to be removed. I'm trying to tell you, I came here to help somebody today, that God wants to bear more fruit through you, but you got to cut some stuff off. Now, I still play my Bejeweled. I still play my Words with Friends, but I play it in moderation. But when I fast, sometimes I got to step away from the things that don't look bad, but it begin to take away from me. See, food in itself is not bad, but when you begin to fast, you begin to deny something bad to get something that's greater. So when Pastor Edwin was telling me about the testimonies of 21 days of prayer and the fruit that's going to come out of it, that came because while the Bridge Church was praying, God began to prune some places in people's lives that it might bear fruit, that the chairs might be filled, that the church might be able to say, we are now connected to the vine and we prune some suckers. See, a church can be packed full of suckers. Can I say that? I'm not saying y'all suckers. No. But it can be packed. These are people that just come and all they don't want to give no offering. They don't want to help out no ministry. They just come and got their seed. They don't want to take care of the kids. All right, you ain't got to do nothing. Clean the building. Drive the truck. Do something. If you find yourself coming to a church for about 3 months or so, and you ain't done nothing yet, you're in the gray area, you're becoming a sucker. If you find yourself in somebody's life, and y'all spend a lot of time around each other, and neither one of y'all getting better, you got two suckers. So he says, I want to bear more fruit through you. So therefore, I got to prune some stuff. What prevents us from being pruned? When God begins to remove things out of our lives and we have a victimized mentality, he begins to remove people and things and we begin to say stuff like this. God, why are you doing this to me? And you begin to think that his discipline is to hurt you rather than help you. Pruning is pain that gets our attention. And when you remove some stuff, God will begin to do some stuff. Y'all hear that? When you remove some stuff, God will begin to do some stuff. Everybody say prune. Also, here's another thing that prevents us from being pruned properly. Complacency or arrogance. Complacency is, God, I'm good the way I am. Y'all ever had that? God requires something else of you? Like, well, I mean, God, I'm good, you know. I read my Bible Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's like my workout regimen. But he says, no, I require every day. You're like, come on, really? It don't take all that. Complacency. Arrogance. Like he's done working on you. I tell my church all the time, I come to church every Sunday, not because I got it together, because I needed to get it together. People say, I got to clean up before I come to church. Y'all ever heard that? I got clean up before. No. The church is the bathtub. If you wash up before you get in the bathtub, you don't know how to take a bath. And I always tell people, look, you don't get in the shower to get out of the shower and still be funky. You have missed the purpose. So some of us, you need to come to church a little funky in life. I mean, put on some deodorant in the natural. But in the spiritual, you got some stuff going on. You were in the right place at the right time for him to do some stuff in you. And he's going to prune you and remove some things that might not seem that bad, but need to be moved. Another thing, ignorance. You just don't know. You ain't even aware that something needs to change. You ever been talking to somebody? And you're like, obviously I'm missing something, because I'm pretty sure everybody, if we did the Family Feud survey, everybody would say what you're doing is wrong. I'll give you an example. So I used to work at this halfway house, and I was group counseling. And you know, 95% of the people were substance abusers, the other 5% was lying. Am I right? All right. And so I remember I was in this group, right? And this dude, right, he was from the 804, right? I mean, he was hood, really hood. You know, like, I'm hip-hop hood. He was really hood. Like, really. This is a dude that, like, you know, man, are you carrying a gun? Even, I know you're in jail, but you got a plastic Glock in here somehow, right? And so we was in a group, and he said, man, for real, it's a conspiracy theory anyway. The government put the drugs in the hood so they can make money off of it. See, I'm different, though. See, I sell dope in the hood, but I also give money back to the hood. Like, I be throwing back the school bashes and stuff. Like, I be giving the kids book bags, notebooks and pens and paper, because their mamas be strung out. So I said, excuse me, what is their mama strung out on? He said, heroin. I said, what you sell? He said, heroin. So I look at the other 30 guys, I say, am I missing something? Because my record ain't like yours. I might not know a code. But what it sounds like to me, you ain't doing no good. Then this dude says this. See, my grandma, she strung out. I'd rather sell her the dope or give her the dope instead of her going to the dope man and she might get killed. I said, now, Master P and No Limit Soldiers didn't prepare me for this. You just said, let me repeat, you just said you'd rather give your grandma the dope. I see you chose the lesser of two evils, but boy, all of that is really evil. And at some point I said, you don't even realize the depravity of your mind. The reason why some people can't be pruned, because they've held on to the wrong thing so long that it feels natural. You begin to think that limp that you're walking with is what you're supposed to have, actually it's the result of an injury. Everybody say prune. In each of these, we find that God desires something. In the moving phase, he desires obedience. In the pruning stage, he desires trust. And last but not least, abide. Let's read this, verse 4 through 8. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Everybody say, abide. In this text, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times. Abide means to settle in, to be connected to sink deeper in. And when he says this, he says, if you abide in me, if you settle in me, settle in my word, if you just sink a little bit deeper, there's going to be much fruit that comes out of you. He says, abide. Everybody say, abide. And when he looks at this, as Jesus is speaking, he's saying, listen, I might prune you, but I want something closer. I want you to just settle in, just get a little bit deeper, get a little bit more comfortable with what I'm doing in your life. I know it's getting a little bit deep in here, and I know you're reading the word more, you're getting more revelation, but just abide in me a little bit. And so when you abide, you begin to see the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians, and it says, like love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, and you begin to bear a different level of fruit. It's like people around you, and they feel more comfortable because of the fruit that you're bearing, because you are abiding in him. Understand, he says, now here's the revelation. The revelation is this, that if you guys learn how to get a little closer to me, I'm going to bring something through you that's going to amaze you. If you guys pray for 21 days, I'm going to bring something through you that's amazing, because you're abiding in me. See, abiding is not just coming to church on Sunday. Abiding is saying, oh, I can't wait to get up and do my morning devo or do my nightly devo. Abiding is saying that there's a hunger for me to be connected to the vine. Understand this. True evidence of the Holy Spirit is seen in character, not charisma. It's not a language, it's a lifestyle. And so often people say the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the only evidence is if people speak in tongues or do something else charismatic outwardly. But the true evidence of the Holy Spirit, the true way I know you got a relationship with the Lord, is the way you live. Abide in me. He'll begin to convict you of things that you didn't even think that you needed to be convicted of. I went through a season, man, he began to convict me of every word that came out of my mouth. He says, because out of your heart flows the abundance of your heart. You better not speak bad about anybody. You better speak well. You better speak encouraging. Even if they make you mad, even if they're wrong, you better speak well. The more you abide, the more sensitive you get. So when he says abide, he's saying that I want you to be a little bit closer. And as I was praying about this, and my prayer is that the Bridge Church would be a little bit closer to them collectively. Don't just let the leadership take the weight. No, you start taking some of the weight. And when you abide individually, you begin to abide collectively. You want to see miracles in your life? It takes all of us abiding in him. Jesus went to one, he went to one village and they had no faith, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. He did no miracles. He went to another village, he was amazed at their faith, that he healed everybody that he could get his hands on, or people who got in the shadow, because they said, we want to abide. Going back to this vine dresser and his daughter, I'm going to close with this story here. The vine dresser, he had a lot of workers and he had a lot of acres of the vineyard. And every year he would do a competition. He would get his servants, and he said, you know, the people that work there and his kids, he says, all right, this year, which branch is going to bear the most fruit? And whoever gets it right, they'll get a part of the harvest and a part of the profit. And so they would guess and stuff like that, and the vine dresser, he would always guess, and he would be right. So his daughter said, Daddy, how you guess right every year? He says, well, baby, it's not so much a guess. He says, because if you look at where the branch and the vine is connected, the one that's going to bear the most fruit is the one that has the thickest connection. I figure somebody might not catch that. The one that's going to bear the most fruit is the one that got the thickest trunk connected to the vine. So in other words, the thicker the connection, the greater the flow of life can come. And so if you want to see who can bear the most fruit, it's not a matter of the public moment. It's a matter of the private moment that shows I'm connected in a deeper way. And this is the Monday through Saturday connection. And I want you to be aware that bearing fruit is not about what people see publicly. It's about what you do privately. And the greater the connection, the more the fruit. You want to see something change in your life? It always takes somebody laying hands on you. It really takes you having a greater connection, and God will move the supernatural. So what's the result of being abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine? Verse 7 says it. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. You want answer prayers? Abide. You want healing in your body? Abide. You want healing in your family? Abide. You want breakthrough? Abide. You want freedom? Abide. You want greater relationships? Abide. If you want to see God move in your life, abide in him. He says, and I will abide in you. He says, and by this, my Father is glorified. He says, you have access to the riches of heaven when you abide in me. So when somebody says, does it take all that? Yes, it really does. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. Can we stand to our feet? If you've been blessed by the word of God, can you show them some love in here? Wherever you are in this season of fruit bearing, maybe you need some things to be moved. Maybe you need some things to be pruned. Maybe you need to abide in a greater way. And abiding may come through fasting, praying, reading of your Bible, a little bit more increase in fellowship. Whatever season you're in, eyes closed, can you just do a self-assessment for a second? Are you in a season where some things need to be moved? Are you in a season where some things need to be pruned? You know you better.